Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Glory be to God. Amen. Now, last Sunday, most of you were not here. Amen. We were like half of this number. I guess it was. But it was awesome. Amen. And we talked about the Father of Jesus. God has indirectly tricked us into, a series. We talked about the name of Jesus, the Father of Jesus, who is also our Father. And we said how he loves us exactly like Jesus, like he loves Jesus. Because we and Jesus are brethren. We are part of the family of God. Amen. So the same way God loves Jesus is the same way God loves us. Hallelujah. Amen. And of course, so we admonished us to understand the Father's love. Glory be to God. Amen. Ladies were not amused when I told guys that if some kachik is messing you up, you know, she's taking long to say yes. I told them, you don't worry. Don't let the kachik, just any. I said there what? But the things I say, and when I get out of here, I was like, God, I'm so sorry. You guys think I'm happy with everything which I say here. I'm not. Sometimes I go, I'm like, sometimes I have to get the sermon, listen to it again, to like, yeah, was it that bad? I'm telling you, contrary to what most of you think, I'm a very good person. Very good person. You understand? I don't want to be bad. But somehow is the thing just what? Hallelujah. So I told these guys, don't worry. There are so many women all over the world. You understand? And for some reason, I don't know whether it was the Holy Ghost or it was me. I zeroed down on, I say there are chicks in Venezuela, So you understand, the Father can get you, Now there are some of you who are annoyed, but so the Father's love, the Father is ready to give you whatever you need. Hallelujah. Yeah, but previously, we talked about the Spirit of Jesus. The Allos Parakletos. One who is exactly like Jesus, and he lives in you, he's with you. He's supposed to be everything that Jesus is supposed to be to you. Glory be to God. Amen. And then, but before then, we were talking about the mind of Christ, the mind of Jesus, that you have that mind. And you can draw from it all the wisdom, all the knowledge that you ever need. And one of the ways you can do that is by praying in the Holy Ghost and asking God for the interpretation of that which you're speaking. Amen? Because that could be the solution, the wisdom that you need for anything. Amen? But we began this by talking about the name of Jesus. The name that is above every other name. Glory be to God. And you know how to use it. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The first time I read the Bible cover to cover, many years ago, I think it was like 1999, I was shocked when I found this. I was like, this thing will always say at the end of the what? Yeah, it is, I was like, the thing is here. Amen. If you have never read the Bible cover to cover, do it. You'll be so blessed. You'll be, this is the verse these guys are always saying. You read, okay, it is here. Okay, so anyway, that's what happened to me. I was like, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit or the fellowship be with you. Amen. Amen. So, just looking at this verse, what haven't we spoken about in this series? Talk about the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. What haven't we talked about? It's not deep. We talked about the Allos Paracletos. He's with us. You understand? So we talked about the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Amen? So what haven't we talked about? Man, you guys. So last Sunday we talked about basically the love of God, the Father's love, isn't it? Amen? So what haven't you talked about? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You guys, you have become so deep, that simple things, You know, For me, honestly, I've decided to first stay what? Very simple. You know, I've decided I'll first read the Bible as it is, before I try to dig deeper for deeper stuff, Which is not bad, but for me, knowing how people are messed up with deep things, how they're not, you know, For me, I've just decided to first do the basic. It is simple, We haven't talked about the grace of the Lord Jesus. Amen? So today, what are we going to talk about? Okay, you see now, you're not trying to be deep. Amen? So, next in the series is the grace of Jesus. Hallelujah. By the way, there's a point I'm going to reach as I preach, where I don't qualify to talk about that area. But somehow, today God has chosen me to talk about it. Amen. And I'll tell you when that point comes. Hallelujah. So anyway, we're going to talk about the what? The grace of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you guys know what grace is? Grace is what? First tell me, first of all, in the Greek, it is charis. Which is not evil, you know? No, again, like most people now don't want to talk about the Greek, the Hebrew, you know? Yeah. But anyway, grace means exactly that. Unmerited what? Favor. Unmerited favor. It means giving someone what they don't deserve. Amen? Hallelujah. It is different from mercy. Mercy is not giving someone what they deserve. Then grace is giving them what they don't deserve. Okay? Then there's something I found many years ago, and most of you know it. Where they say that, you get the word grace, and G stands for God's. Then R stands for, so there is the word grace, so God's riches at Christ's expense. Hallelujah. That is what grace is. God's riches, his forgiveness, his everything, every good that he is, and he gives it to you, but it's not freely. Someone paid for it. Christ is, he died, he was punished, he was spat at, for your sake. Glory be to God. So grace is God's riches, at Christ's expense. Hallelujah. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 16 and 17, it says, and of his fullness, talking about Jesus, he says that, and of his fullness, we have all received. And grace for grace. Hallelujah. If you're born again, you have received grace. Even though you're not born again, you're experiencing the grace of God. Amen? You're experiencing what? The grace of God. I was going to tell you about the grace of God concerning my life, how I was born. But the problem is, Maureen is here, So there's something I don't want to say about me. You understand when she's here. Hallelujah. Because she'll say, but why do you have to say that? Why do you have to say that in front of people? You know, these are family, you know. Glory be to God. Yeah, thank you for missing church last Sunday. Because I told them something about your father. Your late father. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we have received grace. Eh? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, anyway, most of you know these things, grace. Eh? So I'm not going deep into what grace, you know. Eh? You know these things. Eh? Amen. But now that you have received the grace of God, eh, which is essentially the love of God, eh, you know, the unmerited favor. Eh? Hmm? The unmerited what? Favor of God. Eh? If you have received it, what should be our response? Hmm? So anyway, like last week, we talked about the Father's love, and then we're supposed to respond to it. Eh? And the way we respond to it is by loving the Father. Glory be to God. Eh? Because the Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. So things just don't stop at God level. Eh? There is a response for everything. You understand? Eh? So even with the grace of God, there's supposed to be a response from us. Eh? If we have really received that grace, if we have understood His grace. Glory be to God. Eh? Now, one of the first responses, we find it in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 up to 13. Eh? It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, eh? To you, eh? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Hmm? The grace of God teaches us what? That we should deny all ungodliness. Hallelujah. Now these things, these days, people don't talk about this stuff. We only talk about the blessings, the word, you understand? Amen? But there's no one who's talking about these things. Telling Christians to live what? Godly lives. To deny ungodliness. Amen? One of the number one ungodliness among Balokole, which to me hurts me so much, is hitting each other on the head. To me, it is not fornication. What? You know, because in my opinion, maybe I am not aware, but in my opinion, those things, in my opinion, are rare in the church. Maybe, Moses, you don't know what you're talking about. You're there in Chwatule the whole week. You don't know how guys are messing up. Well, I don't know. You know, but this one of hitting people on the head, hitting fellow Christians on the head, yeah, that to me, man, in fact, I just don't know how people do it. But to me, it's a mystery. And now what makes it even a greater mystery is like people are in a small church like this, very few, you know, and who? And Damba hits Emron on the head. Now, ideally I would think Damba should somehow what? Find another church, so that he doesn't have to face what? Emron every Sunday, Thursday, Wednesday. But now the mystery is, man, guys remain around, but I think they have understood the grace of God. Because to be honest, if I wasn't a pastor, and I hit Albert on the head, to be honest, me, the way I know myself, I can't stand someone I've ever done wrong, and I'm not even planning to rectify it. You know, I would get another church. You know, I would. But now guys hit each other on the head, and they're still around. But I commend them I'm telling you guys, eh? Now, some of you, you don't know how bold people are. Eh? There are people, I know, who have hit Elvis on the head. But you all know what hitting on the head means, I hope. It is not really like whatever English, but Uganda, you know. Guys have hit people on the Elvis on the head. And they are still around him. So I used to laugh with, like Elvis would tell me those stories, like, can you imagine this guy? Can you imagine, you know? And I would just laugh and say, man, those guys have understood the grace of God. And I was like, aren't you the one who always tells them those things that how, what does Elvis say? That, there's no, you know, anyway, you know those things, when he talks about how you're accepted, before God, how there is, you know, oh, come my child, come and I embrace you, you know. I told them, you see, guys have heard your stuff, and they're putting it in practice. I love you. You see my whatever, you know those things, what he says every Tuesday. You know, now you guys are bold. You can hit who? whatever. I need it on the head, because first of all, she might even not know that you've hit, that you know, but Elvis, you know, I mean, you, before you hit him on the head, you can think, man, the guy, first of all, he will know, then you understand, But guys are like, those are yours, We know who has what we want, you know, and the person you want it from knows the grace of God. So, let us hit him on the head. Glory be to God. You see, I have so many scriptures, but now I've begun this journey, so I don't know whether we shall finish. There is a guy, most of you don't know, that Elvis had the first book he wrote called Let the Prophet Speak. Now, there's a guy who we worked with to get, who helped us in all that, to get that book, Now, anyway, So anyway, he would be given money to go and sort out the books. It was done in Uganda. So it was a local, like. But this guy, and now the issue is, first of all, the guy was so generous. Concerning generosity, the guy was extremely generous. So, he's given money to do something. Then the next day, he calls you up. Moses and Elvis, where are you, man? Come, I wanna... How's your pork? What? Extremely generous. Then the guy houses. You understand? Now, when it was time to get the books, man, that's when things became tight. So we realized that all this housing the guy was, what? I'm telling you, if I told you the guy's name, if you want to be friends with Elvis, you just go to him and you mention that name. You just mention the name, don't add anything. Elvis will laugh. He will ask you, where is that guy? How did you know him? Have you ever talked with Moses? Man, but this guy was extremely good. There are people who hit you on the head, but you still enjoy their company. They are professional economic hitmen. Hallelujah. But to me, by the way, those things are wonders. I look at these guys and I'm like, I wish I'll get to that level of understanding the grace of God. One day we had to go there with Elvis to put the, to pick the books. It was either, I think, Nassar Road, what? Man, the number, then the guy explained to us that you see that guy, you did, Elvis, he just went away, he even didn't want to watch football that day. He was just thinking about what? And those days, he wasn't as loaded as he is now. You understand? So, if you think about it now, it was a little money. considering the level of, you know, but anyway, the grace of what? Teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And it also teaches us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. You know what that means. Please, live, you know, deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Live soberly, live righteously and godly in the present age. As you look forward for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This blessed hope is talking about the rapture. Before then, let the grace of God make you live like a Christian. You understand? There's no reason why you should live like an animal. Why are you laughing? Amen? There's no reason why you should live like a thug, you know, like a thug. Amen? The grace of God is there to teach you and to enable you to live the good life, the godly life that God would want you to. Hallelujah. Amen? So we are done on that. Romans chapter 5. By the way, you guys, stop hitting people on the head. Please, do you look, you understand? If you're not going to pay someone, if you don't plan to pay back people's money, tell them, that man, just give me some money. You understand? You know, And you know, God, by his grace, will touch their hearts, and they'll give you money, and they tell you, don't pay it back. But the guys will tell you, you know, anyway, these things, I just needed someone on it, hitting people on the head. But now, it shouldn't be what? Among you, really, Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Romans 5:10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his love. This scripture is talking about another, basically the demonstration of God's grace. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were what? Enemies. We were God's enemies. You know, the Bible says we were reconciled to him. But you are God's enemy. Amen. All of you. However Venezuelan, you know. However you look, however you're trying to, you know, you understand? We were enemies. You're not destined to go to hell. You understand? But by God's grace, we are reconciled to him. Amen? Now, if we, the enemies, were reconciled to him, now what, again, should our response be? You know, we should do the same thing that God did to his enemies. He was good to his what? Enemies. To you, Amen? So that means also you, you know, endeavor to be good to your enemies. Endeavor to be what? Good to your enemies. There's an example I want to give, but I have to first look whether that's how, you know, whether the person who, anyway. Hallelujah. Be good to your what? To enemies. Very simple, Again, we're talking about simple things, You know, You see now, like Elvis, you know, he demonstrates the grace of God. You know, guys who hit him on the head, he's good to them, You know, good to them to the extent that the mention of their names, you know, brings laughter. Glory be to God. You're laughing, but it could have been you. When you're just trying to laugh at me, so Moses, please don't ever tell guys that it was me. You know, the grace of God, amen, be good to your what? Enemies. You have people who don't like you, isn't it? You have enemies, isn't it? Be good to them. Do the best you can, the best you can. Have a guy who doesn't like me. I've never understood why a guy doesn't like me. You know, he doesn't like me. So one time I was with my wife, I think at Jeffers. It was a Sunday after service, so I went to somewhere for lunch. I found this guy there. He found me there. So I was like, I think this could be the opportunity for me to show this guy that, you know, I really have nothing against you. So I was like, I think this is the opportunity, you know. So anyway, after we ate, I passed by his table, and I told him, this is for your lunch with your wife. That was 50 or something like that. You know, I hope that would communicate that man. I'm very innocent. you're not liking me. Where is it from? You see, however, a year later, I had a dream when God was showing me that guy thinks his troubles, that it is you who caused these what? Troubles. Then I realized that the 100K that I gave for lunch didn't work. You understand? But now, at least for me, in the eyes of God, what? You understand? I have no issues. Not reconcile. We have never been at par, you know, in a sense. You understand? Yeah, but glory be to God. Be good to your what? Try. But I'm not saying that you're going to get positive results. You understand? Amen. That is not guaranteed. But for you, just make sure that in the eyes of God, you are clean. Glory be to God. Matthew chapter 5, from verse 43. Jesus told his disciples, say that you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. He's speaking to you now. Love Pastor Moses. Some of you, you don't like me, I know. But love Pastor Moses, you understand? Amen? Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. That chick who took your guy. You know, Bless what? Bless them, Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Hallelujah. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. You've seen it, Yesterday I was watching a video by Benny Hinn, and he began to preach. Then some come and began shouting, "Preach, Pastor!" Then he said, "Please keep quiet. I'm the only preacher, you know." Then later, I think some kids were moving over the place. He says, "Parents, I don't want any kid moving. I don't care whose parents they are. You know what I mean?" And it wasn't his church, so maybe the kids were the pastor's kids. He said, "I don't care. I want, you know." Then he went on, and I was, you know, in the place. So when I saw these kids run, hallelujah! You wonder whether the parents are waiting for me to first say it. Amen. Those kids can see it. If they continue to play like this, it is bad upbringing. Then they learn in the church of God. You understand? It is just a playground. Hallelujah. Peter is freezing. Glory be to God. He's like, amen. So Peter Love your enemies. Amen. There is always an opportunity for you to apply what you've been taught. Glory be to God. Amen. According to Benny, that thing like hinders the anointing to flow. Distractions. And it's true. Those things, they mess up, you know. But for preachers who don't care about the presence, who just want to talk, just, you know, to them it's not, you know. Hallelujah. So, let's read it again from here. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I, Jesus, I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Amen? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his son. I've got an idea. It's coming. Let's first do this. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his son rise on the evil and on the good. You see how gracious he is. He makes even rain. Prosperity to come even on the evil. You understand? Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory be to God. What I want to say next, I'm even fearing to say it. Hallelujah. Not like you're married, and for just that day, your husband becomes your enemy. If you're a chick, you understand? Your husband becomes your what? Your enemy. Then you decide to what? Retaliate by withholding sex, for example. You understand? Now this scripture applies to you. Love your enemies. Glory be to God. Amen. And it's not only for chicks. Even guys, Albert, I'm preaching under the anointing. The kids are no longer distracting me, so we are now in there. Hallelujah. Love your what? Enemies. Do good to him, to her. You understand? Your enemy. Glory be to God. Amen? You see, preaching is not a very difficult thing. Hallelujah. Amen? Proverbs chapter 25 from verse 21. It says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Hallelujah. If you don't have enemies, this is someone is not for you. By the way, I'm seeing some of you. Can you what? With the obvious anointing, I can look in your eyes and I know what you're thinking. Because you're thinking of Glory be to God. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. And it ends by saying, and the Lord will reward you for that. Hallelujah. By the way, the person who's preaching this, is like you. Do you understand? This is a part of what I'm saying. It's like you. These scriptures haven't yet been fulfilled in my life. You understand? So we're on the same page. You understand? Amen? So again, like I usually do, I'm going to go back and listen to this sermon. You understand? So that I can, endeavor to love my enemies. Amen? My enemy, my wife has never been my enemy. There's some of you say, so how does that come in? Well, you just haven't been in the service. Amen? By the way, these things, there's some of the, these things, scriptures like this, they help us, especially me, to first come down from this spiritual thing. You understand? Wanting to see the presence of God, wanting to see Jesus, you know, Then you first come down and say, now, actually, you know, there's some other things you guys have forgotten. You no longer talk about in your services, in your the fellowships. You no longer talking about how people should live right. You understand? And then you first, you know, come down a bit and say, now, God, you understand? Amen? Very few people are telling Christians to stop hitting each other on the head. Glory be to God. And then, you know, and now that's one of the reasons actually why some people, prosperity is eluding them. The thing of giving and shall be given back. You understand? Why? Because that money they are giving, it is money. They have just hit some guy on the head. You know, they are giving. Then think, they say, but God, why are things happening? But God's like, you know, that money, I didn't see it. It helped to pay for the venue, for the machines, but however, as for you, nonsense. Glory be to God. Amen? We talked about how the grace of God should help us to live godly lives. But, you know, you have, you know, a sugar mommy. You understand? Then she gives you dimes. Then you come and tithe. You understand? You give. You understand? Those things, they don't work. You understand? There's a verse in the Psalms somewhere which says that it talks about how some sacrifices are an abomination to the Lord. They're inconsequential. They are nonsense. God is not interested. You understand? Amen? But we left that subject already. I know these days people don't want to talk about those things. When I talk about the presence, the glory, you know. Hallelujah. But anyway, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you for that. Amen? Glory be to God. And we can do it. Now, I'm not saying you can do it. I'm saying we can do it, including the preacher. This preacher, as you see here, has issues. Has what? He hasn't yet arrived. Glory be to God. But at least for him, he acknowledges that there's still work to be done. Hallelujah. There's still work to be what? Done. So we can do it. Amen. By the grace of God. The people who have done it, like David. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, from verse 9. You remember? Saul, King Saul wants to kill David. Amen. Now, David got opportunities to kill Saul. Opportunities, but he didn't use them. Two great opportunities. But he didn't do what? Use them. He loved his enemy. The Bible says, it's from verse what? 1 Samuel 24. Let's read from verse 10. This is David speaking to Saul. He tells him that, look, this day, your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you into my hand. He's talking to Saul. He delivered you into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand. I have not sinned against you, yet you hurt my life to take it. So what happened is, Saul is seeking for David to kill him. Amen? David got an opportunity in the cave. He came to Saul, he was sleeping, and he would have killed him, but he just got his robe and cut off a piece, and then, you know, he ran away. Now he's saying, you know, I had an opportunity to kill you. His enemy, and he didn't do it. Amen. Verse 12 says, let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Who do you pursue, a dog, a flea? Therefore, let the Lord be judge and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case, and deliver me out of your hand. So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, is this your voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, you are more righteous than I. Amen? Amen? You see, this is one of the meanings of that scripture. We say that when you love your enemies, when you give them bread, when you give them water, you heap coals of fire on their heads. You understand? Basically, they get convicted that actually, man, this person is nice. It is me who is in the wrong. Amen? This is what happened to what? To Saul. He says, you're more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you dealt well with me. For when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. Glory be to God. Amen. Love your enemies. Do good to those who spitefully use you. Bless those who curse you. Glory be to God. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For in so doing, you heap coals of fire on his head. You understand? And the Bible says that the Lord will reward you. Hallelujah. Amen? Glory be to God. That was the first opportunity David had to clear his enemy. You know, he didn't use it. He said, I can't do that. You know, then Saul was mad. He was a mad guy. You know, again later, again he began to pursue David, wanting to kill him. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 26 from verse 1, it says that now the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah saying, is David not hiding in the hill of what? Of what? Opposite. Then Saul arose and went to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul encamped in the hill of, you know that hill, which is opposite Jeshimon by the road. But David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come. So David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped. And David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of his army. Now Saul lay within the camp, with the people encamped all around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai, the son of, you know, that guy, brother of Joab, saying, who will go with me to Saul in the camp? And Abishai said, I'll go down with you. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner and the people lay all around him. Then Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore, please, let me strike him at once with a spear, right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time. He was a pro, eh? But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him. For who can stretch out his hand against the Lord anointed and be guiltless? David said, furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But please take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head and let us go. So David took the spear and the jug of oil and the jug of water by Saul's head and they got away. Amen? And no one did what? Saw him. Eh? But you've seen the point. Eh? David was good to his enemy. Hmm? Some of your enemies are not even seeking to kill you. Hmm? They're not seeking to kill you. But here is a man, David, his life, man, was in danger. This person just didn't want to, I don't know, to do anything. He wanted his life off the scene. And David said, I can't do it. I won't do it. God grant opportunities. You understand? And you say, I cannot do it. I won't do it. You understand? Glory be to God. Now, I don't know whether I have reached that level of what? Of David. Actually, I haven't reached. You know, I have not reached. Because even there are some guys, small enemies. What they want to do to me is very small. But I don't behave like this. Glory be to God. Apart from the other guy. The other guy have tried, man. Paid for his meal, his wife, you understand? Months later, I get a dream. When the guy is telling me, the moment I recover, I'm coming for you. I'm telling you, I had this dream. The moment I recover, I'm coming for you. I'm telling you. You know. So now you wonder why God would give me a dream. Does he want me to hide? Does he want me to leave the country? Get citizenship in Rwanda? I don't know. You know, maybe God is letting me know that when they come for you to kill you, or when you get an opportunity to kill, don't be like David. I don't know, whatever. Oh, God is like, it's going to be so bad. I want you to pray that the guy can what? He can forgive me for what? Anyway, whatever. Can like achieve you because it's going to be so bad. You know, so pray, intercede for your life. Maybe, I don't know. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, like Jesus, God did, you know, his grace, we were his enemies. Amen. But the Bible says we were reconciled to him. And he's the one who took the initiative. We didn't cry out for help. You understand? In fact, the Bible says before the foundation of the world, the plan was there to save us, to be reconciled to him. You know, and at the right time, you know, in the fullness of time, Jesus came to die. You know, as the ultimate, the final stage in the reconciliation process. Glory be to God. Now what God wants us is to be like him. You understand? To love our enemies, to bless those who curse us. Glory be to God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. For me, what I do when I know someone doesn't like me, I use, for some reason, giving to me is not a difficult thing. It is not, usually, not always. But so, one of the ways I deal with people, when I know someone didn't like me, I use that gift, the giving bit, you know, to like communicate to somebody like, man, please chill me. I don't have any issues with you. I mean, well, you understand? Amen. Glory be to God. You see, now I remember, anyway, these things, we all live in this world, you know, So things happen. Human beings trying to mess up each other. You know, I remember some time ago when this church began, and some people, then, I don't know what happened. Again, it was a devil. I said, this devil man. This is why for me, I really look forward to the soon coming King of Jesus. To put an end to the devil and his works. You know, So, and some guys were here. They were very wonderful. Wonderful people. Very, extremely wonderful. You know, Then somehow, I don't know what happened. I think it's God. I don't know. But it's not God. I know, It's not God. And so, they somehow, they left. Now, when they left, sometime later, someone had a dream, which was from heaven. When God was showing what guys were planning behind the scene. Now, these guys, we were buddies. And they are, to this day, by the way, they are wonderful people. I'm telling you the truth. Because for me, I know them. So I can look at this tough, bad bit. But I know the good bit about them is much greater. You know, Man, guys were planning evil stuff, you know, And you wonder why, why they were doing that. But the whole thing they wanted to do is to get LAT off the scene. Can you, why, You know, And then one time God said that, you know, you're dealing with babies, God told me that these guys, they are my children. They are babies. So understand that. They are babies. Like in the spirit. They are young in me. So what they are doing is no wonder. So, you know, just take it lightly. You know, they are babies. They could have authority. They could, but in the spirit, babies. So, because now, like a baby, if the baby is running here, disturbing the anointing, you know. Deal with them as babies. Glory be to God. But you see, and God said, just chill them, forgive them. They are babies. They will grow up, possibly, you know. Amen. But in the meantime, they are babies. Chill them. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, God wants us to be like him. He says that, Jesus said that God makes his reign to come down on the good and on the evil. The good and his enemies. He causes the sun to shine on his kids and on his enemies. And their crops grow and they sell them at Nakasero, you know, and they get dimes. It's God. You understand? No, he wants you to be like that. He wants Pastor Moses to be like that. The first person in this place God wants to be like that is Pastor Moses. Glory be to God. In fact, you first chill yourself. He is talking to Pastor Moses. Because God knows that this pastor guy of mine, he's not exactly a nice, he's not exactly a simple chap. And I acknowledge that. Glory be to God. Amen? For me, I know my issues. I know, and I don't deny them. Amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You remember Stephen? Stephen? The first martyr? Man, guys, you got him and was stoning him for no reason. But just because he was talking about Jesus. You understand? But the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, I guess, from verse 59. It says that, and as they stoned Stephen, as was calling on God and saying, Lord, Lord, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice and said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Amen. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. A guy being stoned for doing a good thing. You know what I mean? You're learning to love your enemies. So you're like, you know. Stephen, the guy say, God, don't charge them for this sin. Now for you, there's no one even who is stoning you. No one is after your life. By the way, not you, Pastor Moses. Now you, Pastor Moses. But I think there's a guy who can kill me. If like somehow he kubazas and it's like there's no way they can get him. Because if they get you, life imprisonment. You understand? I think if he kubazas and I think the guy can kill me. I'm telling you the truth. And but Stephen said what? Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Glory be to God. And when he had said this, he what? He fell asleep. Died. You know, glory be to God. We're talking about the grace of Jesus. You understand? He demonstrated his love unto us by reconciling us, his enemies, to him. And now he expects us to respond by acting like him, loving our enemies, forgiving them, like Stephen did. You understand? Not plotting to do them harm, like David did on two grand occasions, to finish his enemy. You understand? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. And watching there, one of the people who was leading that campaign to kill Stephen was Paul. By the time it was called Saul. He was the one in charge to make sure the job is done well. And Stephen said, don't charge this wrong against them. You understand? And when you go to Acts 8, verse 1, it says that now Saul was consenting to his death. You understand? It is possible that if Stephen hadn't said that, it is possible that we wouldn't get a great apostle after that. You understand? But here is a guy dying. You are in charge of killing him. And you hear the guy say, Father, forgive him. Don't count this wrong against him. That must have impacted Paul, Saul. You understand? It must have convicted him. You know, Stephen, whatever lay coal on his head, you know, like we saw in Proverbs 25. Glory be to God. Amen. And Jesus also did that. Jesus did what? He did that. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 23, verse 33 to 34, it says that, and when they had come to the place called Calvary, they crucified him, Jesus. And the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He said what? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. The same thing God told me about some guy. I say, you know, forgive them. They are babies. They don't know nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That is what God wanted us to hear today concerning his grace. The grace of Jesus. Amen. The grace that reconciled us unto him. God wants us, you know, to look at his example and do likewise to our enemies. Amen. Give them what they don't deserve. Amen. That's grace. Giving people what they don't what? What they don't deserve. Your enemies don't deserve rain from you. They don't deserve the sun from you onto their crops. They don't deserve bread from you. They don't deserve anything good. But God is like, do it. Amen. Do it. And he said that if you do that, I will reward you. And Matthew 5 said, and then you will be a son of your Father in heaven. Eh? Glory be to God. You are a son. Eh? You are a child of God, but God wants you to mature into sonship. Eh? Hallelujah. So Father, we thank you for what we have had. We thank you, Father, for the love that you demonstrated unto us at Calvary on the cross. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for Calvary. We thank you, precious Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for at the cross, you reconciled us to yourself as your enemies. And now we are your children. We thank you, precious Father, for right now you give us a grace to love our enemies. You give us a grace to act like our Father, to us, to act like you. We give you glory.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.